Well, coming up on this episode of the Retirement Reality Podcast, we are continuing our conversation about generations and the retirement questions that they should be asking. Today, we're focused on Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Z. Stay with us.
It's time for the Retirement Reality Podcast with the founder of Principal Preservation Services, Mike Koyanen.
Welcome in. Glad to have you on the podcast once again. I'm Ben George with Mike Koyanen, founder and owner of Principal Preservation Services. Mike, how are you?
Doing awesome. And spring is here. Oh, today's the solar eclipse. We'll see if we're be able to communicate any time in the future, right? So yeah. we hear anything could happen from this solar eclipse, but it'll be neat. So a lot of people are traveling across the country to go check that out.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. We'll probably have forgotten about it by the time it rolls around this afternoon. But if I'm sure I'll see out my window as it gets a little bit dark. But yeah, it's interesting to see how many people take that so seriously. Like you mentioned, traveling across the country to be in the right locations at the right time.
Yeah, and supposedly you're not supposed to look at it. But yeah. I think when we were kids, we had our company meeting this morning when my advisor says, I remember looking through a hole through a Frisbee in this. I'm like, I don't think that was safe to do that. But yeah. Now that I was at the Home Depot and they were selling solar eclipse sunglasses the other day. So interesting.
Anything to make a dollar. All right. Well, look, Mike, we talked about on our last episode, the baby boomers and the questions they are asking is many of them are into retirement or on the doorsteps. I want to focus now on some of the generations behind them and talk about obviously going to be at different stages of their life, Gen X, Millennials, and then Gen Z. Gen X, let's start there and some of the questions they should be asking because a little bit different mindset, obviously, than baby boomers as they're getting a little bit closer. I think the oldest Gen X is turning 60 next year. So they're in that thick of the mindset of, hey, what do I need to do for retirement? So let's run through some of the questions they should be asking right now. And I'll start with one that you probably get all the time, Mike. How much do I need to have saved to actually retire?
Yeah, and you're right. The age group for this Generation X where I'm in is age 48 to 59. So a lot of them are asking those questions because the older part of the Generation Xers are 59. And what's that? What happens at that age of 59, 59 and a half, is now you have the ability to roll your 401k, 403b, TSP, and so on into an IRA out of the plan and have more control over your money. So I think when you hit that age, people are like, you know, I need to do more planning, you know, especially in those later years in the upper 50s. People are getting more serious about, you know what, I'm getting tired. I want to retire soon. Can I retire at 60? Is it 62? Is it 65? So you start asking these questions. And also on top of having ability to do more things with your retirement plan as well. So that's a question getting asked all the time from these Generation Xers.
Yeah. And the follow-up question I'm sure is, well, how do I know then? I know how much I need. How do I know if I'm on track?
Yeah, and that's the thing. We're just being more inquisitive here, just digging deeper for questions. And that's when they're seeking out. We're working with these Generation Xers, you know, the later half of those, because they're getting more serious about retirement. So that's when you want to dig into that planning piece and start putting these numbers together and just how does things look like. So they are, I like, you know, obviously it's my generation. I may be a little biased here, but hard workers and not reliant on, I think, parents' money, I should say. You know, they're, you know, this generation, most of these generations have their own little tweaks about them, but Generation Xers are hard workers, and I felt like maybe they got a little bit later start in their savings, a lot of them, but they're doing what they can to want to have that retirement they've dreamed about and do whatever they have to do to make it work.
So you ask those two questions, and I know that people will oftentimes, if they are behind, start wondering, okay, what can I do now? I'm getting close to retirement. What can I actually do to catch up now if I started saving late?
Yeah, and that's asking those questions. So what the catch up on my 401k, and do I need to have an IRA or a Roth IRA outside of my 401k? Should I lower my contributions in my 401k? This is what I had to Generation Xer on Friday. Should I lower my 401k contributions, which I agreed to, do enough to get the company match, but then start a Roth IRA? So now you have the ability to do a Roth IRA that grows tax-free, make these contributions on a monthly basis to your maximum amount that you can do for 2024 is $8,000 if you're 50 and older, as you're still contributing to the 401k. So there are income limits, but most people fit in those income limits to be able to do that. So it's trying to max out those contributions. And if you have a 401k, it's $30,000. You know, once you hit age 50, so some of those Generation Xers can't do it yet, but once you're age 50 and above, you can do that catch-up, which is an extra $1,000 on your IRAs or Roth IRAs, and it's an extra, I think it's $7,500 on your 401ks, so in 403bs and so on. So you can definitely put more money aside.
All right, we're talking about the questions Gen Xers should be asking as they prepare for retirement. And this is a stage of life, Mike, where you have a mortgage, but you may be getting towards the back end of the mortgage potentially. Then you have the children's education that you're probably having to start maybe consider paying for or figuring out how to handle that as well. Some of these big expense items. So how do you balance saving for retirement while you're also trying to manage these other financial goals?
Yeah, and I think the word has just been integrated in all of them, because it's not just one or the other. And should I stop funding my 401k so I can do the college education, and or should I just focus on paying my mortgage, then I'll save? I'm like, no, you have to just begin a habit of doing them all. And so paying off the mortgage is important, but you know, you might have one of those low interest rates that's, you know, 4.5% or lower. Does it really make sense to focus on paying that mortgage off today? Probably not. You don't want to affect your cash flow significantly where you're not contributing. I think on the educational piece, where I fall in this category, I think it's more important to help your children on the back end once they're out of college and they're maybe starting to pay their mortgage, I mean their student loans themselves. They'll appreciate it a lot more. And I think they'll have a lot more skin in the game if you tell them that, hey, this is on your own. You take up these loans, you're responsible for these. And these are debts. You know, a little fear factor in there a little bit, but these are debts that you can't even run from, that you can't even, you know, file bankruptcy and have them leave. So they will even garnish your Social Security wages on unpaid student loan debt. So make sure that they're taking it serious. And when they're in school, they don't skip classes. They're going to make sure they get good grades, and you can help them out later. And then, because the last thing you want to do is shortchange your retirement, put all your, you know, send Billy and Susie to a, you know, university, you spend $7,500,000 each. And what if they drop out their senior year, junior year? What if they don't get a degree? You know, that happens. And then all of a sudden you're like, boy, I wish I would have put my money in my retirement plan, because these last 3 years would have been hugely beneficial when the market was booming. So a lot of these would've, could've, should've, we don't know what the future will entail, but the key is do it all at once and not just focusing only on one.
All right, so this is also the time when you have to start shifting your mindset in terms of investing as well. And, you know, you have to really identify the amount of risk you're comfortable with, but also how much you should be taking at this point, right, Mike? Because it's going to change you close to retirement. It's more about protecting what you've earned.
Yeah, I had this conversation last week with a couple individuals. What you have in your accounts today might be the largest amounts you've seen, you know, in your past history. And so the key is you want to preserve what you built up. You don't want to have everything exposed 100% to market volatility. There's nothing wrong with being in the market. You just don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. Be more diversified in your planning. And because, you know, if things hit the fan, which could or could not happen, we don't know what's – eventually it does, but we want to make sure that your retirement is not derailed. Everything you've established up to this point – you know, you could hedge and protect, you know, some of your money. So the key is doing some risk assessments. Make sure your investments match with your tolerance for risk. Make sure that you understand the risks of being in bonds, because a lot of people were told by their advisors the last 3 years, 4 years that bonds were safe, that they couldn't lose, which reality is we've seen a lot of bonds still down 15% to 20%+ as well. So the key is what are the investments that really match with who you are and where you're at in life is so important. And it comes with a little more education, probably a lot more education right now within, you know, 1 to 5 years from retirement as it was 15, 20 years ago, because you had a lot of time on your side. You could be more aggressive. Now you're to a point where, like, I can't afford to be that level of aggressive anymore. I want to make sure my money's going to last, and any major downturn, I can't afford to lose 30% or 40%. This is what a lot of people are telling me. So let's lower that risk if we can be in that 10, 15% at most. And a lot of people tell me, Ben, they're like, I said, how much you want to lose if we have a recession? What are you comfortable with losing? Not what you want to lose, but what are you comfortable with losing? Yeah. And I usually hear, I don't want to lose a dime.
Right.
Well, the reality, you have 98% of your dollars fluctuating in the market daily. That's not how you're investing today. We have to make some changes.
Yeah.
So anyways, hopefully those answer your questions there, Ben.
Yeah, they do. They do for sure. All right. So let's got a couple more before we transition.
Okay.
Your previous employer, now you're probably at a point in your life where you probably have at least one or two previous employers you worked with and maybe have an old 401k with them. What should you do with that?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of keeping in with those past employers or rolling those 401ks into your current 401k. I'm not a huge fan of those. You know why? Well, first of all, 401k plans or in any employer-sponsored plans, they have limited investment options. You have some as low as 10. Well, it's interesting. I've seen some as low as like 5 investment options. I've seen as many as like 25. I found my old 401k statement from my employer 30 years ago, and I think I had 4 options, which is crazy. So what do you do with them? Put them into an IRA. It's tax-free rollovers to traditional IRAs. You know, you have myriads of investment options where your 401ks are limited. And then when you're in a 401k plan, you're not working with an advisor. You have your money invested with a company like a Fidelity or Transamerica or Empower or whoever that company might be, but they're not giving you advice. I mean, when we get on the phone with some of these companies and their clients to do a rollover, I think one of the companies, I believe it's Transamerica, says, we do not give investment advice. So they're very clear that they're just managing your money, investing your money, but they're not giving you advice on what to invest in. So the key is we can give advice. I have the license to give advice, and the key is make sure you're investing appropriately. Get those monies into IRAs that are going to be more suitable for you. And also the other thing with fees on these old 401ks, a lot of times when you're working at that position, those fees are covered by the employer. A lot of those fees are when you leave, those fees go on to you. And even though you don't see them deducted from those statements, there's fees on those 401ks. I think smartasset.com says the average 401k fee is right around 2.22% in fees. But you don't see those show up on your statements.
Very interesting. All right, last one, Mike, from Jen X is, what if I want to retire early? What should I be doing right now?
Well, definitely get a plan in place. Make sure that everything lines up. You understand when you're going to file Social Security, which, if you have a pension, which pension option you're going to take. Sometimes there's a pension lump sum option that makes sure you explore those options. If you're married, you can do single, you can do joint income, what percentage of joint income, or the lump sum option. We're finding more and more people today for these pensions are doing the lump sum option and have more control over those funds. Obviously, get your health checked out. A lot of people don't talk about your health situation when you're planning for retirement, but you should. You should get a physical. You should see where are you, you know, health-wise. And that might speed up the process of retiring or it might slow it down, but all these come into play. And make sure you have enough money, you have control over your expenses, and you map out your retirement dream. What are you going to be doing in retirement, and what are those expenses? So it's all put together in one plan, and make sure that it all fits. And you get that okay that you're not going to run out of money in your lifetime, then what's the whole point of working, you know, another 3 years or 5 years when you could live the life you want to live today?
All right, let's shift to millennials now, Mike. This is approximately 1977 to 1995 birthdays. I fall into this. I don't identify as a millennial, but the older end, I guess, what are we about? Getting close to 45 years old or something like that. So
yeah,
this is some questions that the wheels are starting to turn about retirement a little bit. So let's go through some of the questions they're asking, because, you know, they're looking at some saving strategies, really looking at retirement benefits a little bit closer now. First thing, Mike, what do I do and how do I plan for the potential costs of having and raising children?
Yeah, that's a big expense. I think there's a lot of millennials who are using their parents right now. So if their parents are retired or partially retired, A lot of times I see that happening where you're helping the children, you know, the parents are helping the children with that. I mean, that's where I fall in. I'm a Generation Xer helping millennials, and my wife is watching grandkids a few days a week. So I think some of that is part of the plan because things are more expensive for them, and maybe they're not making the money that they expect it to make. So daycare is crazy. I don't know what the average cost down, you know, in the eastern part of the U.S. where you're at, Ben, but here in the Midwest, you're looking at a daycare in house. You might be $150 to $200 a week per child, or you go to a center, you're looking at $250, $300 a week. So I don't know how you afford to do that personally. But this is the age group 29 to 47 today. So you're in your late 20s, almost 30, your late 40s, almost 50. And the daycare is a big expense, but it's all the expenses you have to figure it out. And I think that what I've noticed so far with not everybody, but there's a bunch of millennials I've worked with or referred to by their parents. They're kind of behind on the savings. They're behind on planning. They're behind on their budget, and they're having maybe not as strong financial gains as maybe they're behind from what their parents were at. Mm-hmm. Is what I've been noticing.
Daycare is and childcare in general was the biggest eye opening thing as a parent, right? Because I don't think people prepare you for it and how much it actually is. You hear it's expensive, but you know, a lot of times we don't talk specific numbers, but man, I mean, it adds up. We have two kids in daycare, and you're talking about basically another mortgage payment to put them through daycare. Mm-hmm. So it makes a lot of sense why people will end up deciding, okay, one spouse will just leave the workforce for a little bit, because you're right, it's incredibly expensive and it does eat into your savings.
Yeah, and you could look at maybe grandparents where one grandparent worked outside the house, or you know, maybe they still both did, but they found a way to make it work. Where daycare wasn't as crazy back in the day, there was when I grew up, there wasn't like daycare centers. It was either we relied on maybe in-home daycare part time, or maybe grandparents watched us part time. We kind of made things work, or they had, like my parents had alternate shifts, so we made things work. There was a lot of lock-key kids back in the day where I'd come home from school and we'd be home for a couple hours before my oldest sister got home from high school. Things were a little bit different back in the day, so I totally get it. We're in a different day and age. We're not leaving our kids home for hours by themselves. So, totally, generations have changed, and we go to, you know, maybe these millennials' great-grandparents, one person worked out of home, great grandma raised all the kids. There wasn't no daycares.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Social Security is another big issue for every generation, but I know some of the younger generations are wondering, really, will it be around, right? Can I rely on Social Security, or do I need to start kind of thinking about some potential changes that could happen in this system?
Yeah, most likely it will happen for sure, the millennials. I'm in Generation X, and I believe it's going to happen for our generation as well. So they have to make it more solvent. If we don't make changes to Social Security, you know, the process of filing, it'll be reduced after 14 years from 2024. So so we're talking about in 10 years, I'm sorry, 10 years from now, it's going to be reduced about 24% less benefit. So they have to make some changes. They're probably going to be raising taxes, most likely. They're also going to be maybe reducing some benefits, or maybe different start dates. So, you know, they might not be able to file at 62. They might be at 63 or 64. Medicare age might be later. Full retirement age instead of 67 might be 68 or 69. There's going to be, I don't know what those changes will look like today, but they're going to be different. And they have to make it more solvent and fair. And also, you know, the millennials are living longer than, you know, a lot of the previous generation. So we have to make sure that money's going to be there to last. But that's not the only problem. Obviously, there's management of the funds has been a big issue, but they're definitely going to change. So you can't rely on what the rules are today. You might have to do some over planning to make sure you have more money saved than just counting on Social Security.
Mm-hmm. Though there's a lot more in terms of investment options out there for people today. So the question I think some millennials are asking as well is, should I rely on these traditional methods for saving for retirement, these retirement accounts that, you know, other generations ahead of me have been using, or are there some new, maybe innovative options that I can consider?
Yeah, I think this generation, they are more open to alternative type of investments, willing to take a little bit more risk. I mean, they're looking at, you know, real estate. They're looking at gold and silver. They're looking at Bitcoin is huge. So they're looking at all these alternative investments. And they, I think there's a little bit of that, you know, that age, not all, but again, part of the people in this age is that get rich quick kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping for a big winner. And we've all heard about, hey, if you would have bought, you know, Amazon stock 20 years ago, you'd be a multi-millionaire today, or, you know, Apple. And we can look at all the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But these are ones that are looking for some high yield and not comfortable. It seems what I've noticed, they're not so comfortable with an average, you know, 6% return on the investment. They're looking for more. And again, you're younger, so you can afford a higher risk level typically as well, but definitely more open to these alternative investments.
All right, let's shift gears in with Gen Z here, Mike, and talk about this group. Now, you might be saying, well, Gen Z is probably not even thinking about retirement yet, because you're talking about even some kids that were born in 2015. The older end's 1996, so, you know, getting close to 30, but mainly in their teens and 20s. But they are starting their financial journey, right, and many starting to enter the professional workforce potentially. So some questions they can be asking and be thinking about as they are looking ahead. And maybe this is something you want to help your grandchild or your child with as they start their journey as well. But first question is, do I even need to start saving for retirement now? Because we still have 10, 20, 30, 40 years in many cases until that happens.
Yeah, you would think that. I mean, I started my first retirement plan, I think, at age 21. You know, so I started early, but this is a neat generation because they seem more financially, fiscally stable and stronger than actually the millennial generation. And there's some statistics behind that. I was at a seminar here where these guest speakers spoke about every generation's pros and cons. And actually the Generation Z's are those ones who their parents experienced the real estate bubble and they saw the stress that their parents went through. And so they were... they remember that. And so they were, it's ingrained in them to actually do things right. And so we're finding this generation is starting retirement savings sooner and being a lot more responsible with their money. So we're finding they are starting sooner, retiring, saving sooner than the millennials. And I think that's great. I have a couple of my children in here in this generation, and they're saving. And they're doing well. They have a lot more saved than I had back in the day, even percentage-wise.
Well, I know a lot of them won't be thinking necessarily about a financial advisor right away, but the question is probably in the back of their mind is, what age should I even start thinking about working with an advisor?
Yeah, right away. The day you start your first job is the day you start planning for your retirement. And I think a lot of them have that mentality is as soon as that 401k plan is available and open, start funding it. And doing as much as you can to get that company match, and also setting that 401k for automatic raises. Every time you get a raise, your 401k contribution goes up as well. So I think that's the mentality to have there. It's not, I can't afford to do it. It's, I can't afford to do it. I can't afford not to do it is the thought process you should have in there. And again, planning your last day at your first day.
I like that. It's not easy to think that way, but yes, that first day you start is the first day you start planning for retirement. All right, Mike, what can I do if I'm trying to start saving for retirement but also have student loan debt to pay for? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and again, what I've noticed this generation, when my daughters and son-in-laws and ones who have student loan debt, man, they've hammered out a lot of debt. And they're very responsible to do that and looking at that. So not only have been saving for retirement, but also consolidating debt into some lower interest rate loans when rates were lower, so you can make more of a headway into something more manageable, but also just getting rid of that debt as much as you can. And so focusing on both, make sure you're not doing the 20-year plan on these student loan debts, get them paid off within 5, you know, years from leaving school. That should be your goal, in my in my opinion, because it, you know, it can hinder you buying that first house. It's going to hinder you, you know, the life of having children and that having those funds, the daycare expense we've talked about already. So the key is, as soon as you get rid of that student loan debt, you can. It feels like you can move on to the bigger things, which is having children, buying that house, and saving even more into your 401k plan.
All right, let's close out with one question by Gen Z to finish things out, because technology is so big and it's evolving and changing every day that it's becoming a part of the process for planning for retirement. So what technological tools or apps are out there that can help and actually benefit me with my retirement planning?
Yeah, what I find they're really proactive finding, and they're so good with computers this generation. And, you know, they're going to mint.com, NerdWallet. You know, you go to these websites and they have all these tools and calculators at their disposal. But even if it's not those two sites, they're Googling and finding these. Even I know Charles Schwab has some retirement planning tools on there as well. So now I don't have the specifics here. I'm not in this generation, but I've noticed they're not afraid to search out and get that information on how to, you know, even just little things like, you know, I got some credit card debt. I want to make sure, and you'll find a zero interest credit card for the next 18 months. So you can pay that debt down faster without accruing any interest. And they'll switch it to another card if it's not paid off. So they're very financially stable and astute there when it comes to their planning and the debt. And also finding all these different apps out there. I can't keep track of it all. I don't have the time for all that. I have our tools that I know how to use with what we need with our clients, but individual things, whatever that need is, they will find those apps.
They sure will. All right, well, these are just some of the questions that are being asked by different generations. As you can see, everybody's at a different spot in their life and their career, and you should be asking some specific things that meet your needs and kind of help you answer the questions that will help you get to where you want to be in retirement. But again, as always, if no matter where you are, it's time to start planning for retirement with someone, with the help of a professional. Of course, Mike and his team at Principal Preservation Services can help you. I don't know if you have – do you have any – I know you don't have any Gen Zs probably you're working with, but any millennials yet, Mike, that you're working with?
We do not have a millennial today that we're working with. We've had some millennials in the past, but so we've worked with some millennials in the past, and right now we have Gen X and Gen Z in our office right now.
Well, no matter your age, obviously Mike and his team have seen a lot of different scenarios and worked with a lot of different people to plan. So we're able to answer your questions. If you have anything specific that we didn't cover that you maybe want to run by Mike and the team, you can always call 855-987-8888 or log on principalpreservationservices.com. All right, Mike, fun conversation going through these different generations. I'm glad we did, but I hope you have a good week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it.
Investment advisory services offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. SEC registration does not constitute an endorsement of the firm by the commission, nor does it indicate that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability. Alpha Star, Principal Preservation Services, LLC, and Principal Wealth Services, LLC are separate and independent entities. Insurance products are offered through Principal Preservation Services, LLC, a Minnesota and Wisconsin insurance agency. Investment advice is offered through Principal Wealth Services, LLC. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products offered by Principal Preservation Services, LLC. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered or guaranteed by AlphaStar.